stand by for the Terry Saul Show in 5, roll tape, 4, cue Terry, 3, bring audio up, 2, stand by, 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
Good morning, and welcome to the Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today's Terry Saul Show. Amanda Smith has joined us again this morning. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing okay. You brought a guest with you.
Yes, so I have Jo Rae Perkins here with me, and she is running for the U.S. Senate position. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role?
Well, thank you, Amanda and Terry. It's wonderful to be here. About me, so I live in Albany with my high school sweetheart.
Oh. That's awesome.
We've been married 44 years.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. Our children are grown, and we've got a combined 11 grandchildren.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. There's blended family there, but still, there's 11 grandkids.
That's still 11.
It's a lot.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
the
oldest
that's
is
fun.
It is. The oldest is 21, and the youngest just turned 13 months.
How fun.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay.
Yes. So I stole a few hours from the campaign trail on Sunday and went and was grandma with the two youngest kids.
Good for you.
Now we know why
you're
trying to get out of the house. 11 grandchildren, that's why you're trying to get out of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that's fun. Grandchildren are a blessing.
They're a blessing. Yeah, they're great. My husband, George, is a carpet installation contractor.
Okay.
And my background has been in investments, finance, banking, real estate. I worked at Oregon State University in the Department of Animal and Rangeland Sciences.
Wow. So what haven't you done would probably be the better question.
And I've also sold cars, and I've worked for contractors and retail. I have not worked in a bakery.
Okay.
Yet.
No, not going to happen.
So is cooking not your strong suit?
Not my strong suit, but I do make jewelry in my quote-unquote spare time, which I don't have.
I was going to say, spare time. What's that with 11 grandchildren?
Yeah, well, I don't get enough time with them, but, you know, most of them are grown now.
Yes.
So why did you decide you want to get into politics?
Well, this is a God thing.
Okay, I like that a lot.
And it actually started way back, and I didn't realize it. Back in high school, I ran for class secretary only because I wanted to hang out with the popular kids. I didn't win. But anyway, and then I ran for city council back in, I think it was 94, 95, an odd year. So it must have been 95. Maybe before then. I don't know. A long time ago. And I didn't realize that this was actually what God was pulling me towards until many years later. I felt the call to plan on going to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And so here I am. This is my third run for the U.S. Senate. Second time as being the nominee.
Okay.
Back-to-back years. Back-to-back election cycles. And this is the year that we are going to win.
Yes,
good
it
for you.
Is.
So when you win and you go to Washington, will you be living there full-time?
We'll be going back and forth because George will retire.
Okay.
Yeah, so he'll retire after the first year. I told him he can't retire till February, till I get my first paycheck. Then he can, because I'll be a federal employee, and you get paid once a month.
Right.
So I won't see a paycheck till February. So
then
you know, he'll have to work in January.
Okay.
How does that work then? When the election comes up in November,
yes.
You win the election, and then what do you do from November until you go back in January?
Well, I'll be going back and forth.
Because you have to get an office set up.
I have to get an
there,
office set up, go
place
through.
Place to live.
Yes.
And what else do they have to do to you?
The onboarding. So I may get a paycheck before then. I haven't looked. I just figured it'll be February. Because they have to take you through all the onboarding process.
What is that?
Just like any new employee.
Okay.
Because you're technically an employee. So you have to go through all of the wherefores and the therefores and start hiring staff and get all that set up.
Okay. So what exactly does the U.S. Senate do?
So the U.S. Senate...
Right now, not much.
Yeah.
But I'm bummed in.
Yeah. So for people that want to know, and they want to look it up in detail, it's in the Constitution.
Okay.
Article 1, Section 8 is what the Senate is supposed to do. Section 9 is what they are not supposed to do.
Okay.
So I'm going to not read this word for word, but I'll go through it briefly. They have the power to lay and collect taxes, pay debts. They have to do that. They can borrow money on the credit of the United States, regulate commerce with foreign nations among the states and the Indian tribes, establish a uniform rule of naturalization, and wrote the laws for bankruptcies. They coin money, regulate the value of it, and a foreign coin, provide punishments for counterfeits, for counterfeiting securities and the coin of the United States, establish post offices and post roads. They promote the progress of science and useful arts. And in that, they establish terms which are your copyright laws and patents. They conduct tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court to find and punish piracies among the high seas, declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal. They raise and support armies. But here's really what's interesting with the army. It is only money appropriated for 2 years at a time.
Oh, okay.
But they're to maintain a navy.
Why is that?
That's what they said. That's what the founders wrote in the Constitution.
Interesting.
Mm. So isn't that, it's interesting. Make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces. Mm. Provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union and suppress insurrections and repel invasion. Provide for organizing, arming, disciplining the militia. So it goes into more detail on that. Exercise, and this is an important one here, exercise exclusive legislation in all cases over such district not exceeding 10 square miles, that's Washington, D.C., as may be by cession of particular states, so a couple of the states said, okay, here's the land for the seat of the government, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be, I'll explain that, for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. I'm going to go into that a little bit.
Okay.
Break that down. They cannot own the federal force. Constitution's right there. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 says they have to, one, buy the land for these specific purposes, for forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives them legal authority to have the federal force or federal rangelands unless they purchase that land. But again, it has to be for those purposes.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So this gets into some legislative stuff.
Holy smokes.
Okay, the end of the of that section, this is the next most important part. This is called the Elastics Clause. It's paragraph 18, Article 1, Section 8. They're also called clauses in the Constitution. Paragraph and a clause is the same. To make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers, those previous 17, and all powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof. So, bills come forth and they go, yes, they're constitutional because it goes in the 18th clause. But it says according to what is in the rest of the Constitution. So, Department of Education, not constitutional. It's not in there.
Okay. So, what does that mean?
How could that be?
Because they said, well, we can just create a Department of Education, U.S. Department of Education. They said they could do it because they manipulated to fit in this clause. But the clause is specific and other powers vested by this Constitution in the government. This Constitution does not give the authority of the federal government to control the education.
Okay. But they are.
But they are through the U.S. Department of Education, CDC, FDA, 17 different investigative agencies.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on and on.
On and on.
Government is out of control. Section 9 says what they cannot do. So I'll let people read that on their own.
Okay.
And so this is what you just read to us are things that you are going to be responsible for?
Yes.
How big of a staff are you going to need?
Not very big. I think we're allowed 9 staff people. I don't know. But
then there's
people. That was $9,000 for travel. 9 came in somewhere. I don't know how many staff people, but hopefully not as many as what they give me. The other thing, I just forgot it. Oh, and the other important part of the Senate is there's 2 other important things that are also in the Constitution. One is that they approve the appointments of the president, the judges, the Supreme Court, and if there is an impeachment, they're the ones that decide to convict or not convict.
So you're extremely important to have in there.
The representatives hear the trial. The Senate makes the final decision, yay or nay, guilty or not guilty.
Wow. Okay. So we need you in there.
So it is a very important position to have.
I didn't even realize just how important it was, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's a big job. So with the education part of that, what would you attack or focus on?
That's okay. No,
what would be your plan?
My plan is to defund the U.S. Department of Education. It's run by the National Education Association, which is putting into our school systems all of this disgusting stuff.
Here it comes.
Yeah.
You and I have been talking about.
We have. It's kind of getting, it's not kind of.
It is out of control.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of moving parts. that go on behind the scenes that people don't realize. There's a book called Standing Up to Goliath by, shoot, I don't remember her name, but look it up. Standing Up to Goliath, great book. It's the information of a California, former California school teacher. The Goliath is the National Education Association. She went in eyes wide open as a young teacher. I'm going to do all this stuff, and was shut down immediately by the unions. And so she decided, okay, I'll get active with the union so she could get onto the inside to see what was really going on.
Right.
And in that, she explains all of this stuff and what we are seeing coming down into the school system, the transgender, the you don't know what your gender is, the critical race theory that is infiltrated into the curriculum. There is not a critical race theory course in the elementary school level, but it is intertwined throughout the verbiage.
It is.
And so that all comes from the NEA, which filters through the U.S. Department of Education.
Okay, yeah, we were just talking about the teachers' union just recently and just how powerful they are with what they're doing and taking the money and funding the left.
And it's the PTAs now are part of the same side.
Yeah, really?
Yes. So in her book, she goes over it. I've heard her speak in a couple times, and she's amazing.
Okay. So where do you stand with the electric cars and how they are moving those, I think California, New York, how they're trying to end sales of those in 2020 or 2035?
So Kate Brown a couple years ago did an executive order that all new homes being built starting in 2025 must be wired for electric vehicles. At that time, the additional cost was about $2,500. It's a lot more than that today. Mm-hmm. Our grid is not set up for electric cars. Most of the materials for the batteries come from China. We get into a disagreement with China, they can cut us off. We're already having a supply chain issue. The damage to the environment from mining the lithium and the other metals and minerals, products that go into the batteries is horrible. Mm-hmm. It is not saving the environment. It's actually wreaking more havoc. If it freezes, you can't drive your electric car. So what are you going to do?
If it's too hot, they shut off the grids and you
yes.
can't drive your car?
So if it freezes, you can't drive the electric car?
Yeah. They don't start in the freezing weather.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either. That's kind of interesting.
So these are not good. Our infrastructure is not built up for it. California has rolling brownouts and blackouts. We started having them this year. They said be prepared for them. For rolling brownouts, that's because the grid can't handle it.
And they want to just push it even more. And I can only imagine what it'll do to our farmers, our truckers, everything.
So the farmers have had, they run their combines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to harvest their crops for days on end. And they kind of co-op and they go field to field depending on the rotation of the crops. Those batteries don't last that long. They can't sit there and wait for those huge combines. One of the major combine manufacturers was going to start looking at electric batteries. They can't make them big enough to hold enough power to run them. This is all a farce, and people just need to push back. Gasoline is a natural product.
It is.
So. We were talking yesterday about the buses. They have what, four school buses now that are
three buses. And one's electric, and it can only go about 80 miles before it has to go back to its charging station and recharge.
Yes.
It's like, so what, it can't take kids on field trips?
Nope.
It can't take them out of town to a different football game? It's like, it's so limited. Yeah. And it went from $150,000 to $400,000.
Yeah.
And it's like, for what? It's not even very, it's so limited, it's not even funny.
It is not good economic sense. It is not environmentally friendly. It's a shell game.
Absolutely.
And it's designed to break our economy even more.
It is.
All right, we need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. Today's show being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to get into the homeless situation. More in just a minute. Stick around.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. You know, when it comes time to move into a new home, it's time to consider Don Lule Homes. The Lule difference is simply setting the bar for quality service in Salem. Find out today about custom-built new homes. Don Lule Homes offers open floor plans, quality craftsmanship, and over 50 years of excellent experience in new construction. Beautiful homes are coming soon. Call today and ask for Erica at 503-428-6992. Don Lule Homes.
We're back in 5,
four, Q Terry, two, one, you're on.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show. We are talking with Amanda Smith, and we have joining us in studio Joe Ray Perkins, who's running for the U.S. Senate. Did I get that right?
You got that right, against Ron Wyden. We need to let them know. Ron Wyden, we're going to retire Ron.
You know he snores on an airplane? I flew back to Florida a couple of years ago, and he was the seat directly behind me. He snored the whole way back. There's like, well, anybody shut this guy up? Good gosh.
Well, hopefully
sorry.
She will.
TMI, Terry, TMI.
Oh, well. So let's talk a little bit about the homeless situation, because it's a really important situation here. We had a gentleman in from Union Gospel Mission last week that was talking to us and was just saying how he was telling some of his experiences about being homeless. His experience was he was homeless in Fort Collins, Colorado, which is very cold.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the homeless situation here in our area.
The homeless situation, there's so many intertwining tentacles that are involved in it. First, we need to get to the root cause, some of which is mental health. And we closed mental health hospitals over 30 years ago, if I remember correctly, and put them out on the streets. Oh, their families can take care of them. They're institutionalized because
the families couldn't take care of
them. Families couldn't take care of them. Now we have people that are out there. You know, Oregon passed ballot measure 110 2 years ago. So now you can have personal possession of all drugs. So now we had more people come to Oregon. Oh, hey, I can get as stoned as I want and won't get arrested for carrying my own meth or heroin or coke, whatever in the world heavy drug they want to have. So that causes another homeless problem, which feeds into the mental health issue, which feeds into the homeless issue, which feeds into the crime issue, because now I have to get my fix.
Right.
And I can't hold down a job because I'm too stoned to get a job. So now I have to resort to crime. And then we have the open borders that feeds into it also, because now they're bringing in undocumented people that aren't supposed to be here, and they don't have any place to house them. This crisis is beyond a simple 30-second answer. But here's the short one. For those people that want to get off the streets, they're sick and tired of living that homeless life, I believe the government should not be involved. I believe it should be a community of people that will band together and say, okay, what can we do? We'll start with one at a time. Help them get off the street, get them housed, get them off the drugs. Get them the counseling that they need. Get them the medical care that they need so they're healthy. And get them into a job as an intern right away, as fast as possible, as they meet certain milestones. I shared that idea with a friend of mine in Bend. He said, Joe Ray, my church has done it, and it works, and no government money. They help one at a time. I shared that with a drug and alcohol counselor down in Klamath Falls. And I said, Mr. Christensen, how many of your clients would jump on that if they were given an opportunity to get off the streets, get a job, get drug-free? He said 100% would love it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump into our First and Second Amendment rights and where you stand on those.
So I'm a constitutionalist. My staff and I will read every bill before I vote on it. And we're going to scrub the bill to make sure that it is clearly 100% constitutional. I mentioned the elastic clause, not that they wiggle it to make it fit in the elastic clause. It must be clearly constitutional. The bill that Biden just signed, January 25th, the red flag gun law, which, by the way, is mirrored right after Oregon's red flag gun law, the boyfriend bill that was passed a few years ago. Oregon's the epicenter. I wish we had time to go into that. I would vote no on that. If a bill is not clearly constitutional, I'm going to vote no, and I'm going to fight for every single right in the Constitution, the First Amendment, your freedom of speech, freedom of religion,
right.
Freedom of the press, freedom to peacefully assemble, freedom to redress your government.
Absolutely.
Did I miss one?
No.
I get them all, five of them.
What is the red flag law? I'm not familiar with that one.
That is, Terry, you and I dated 50 years ago.
We were going to talk about this.
I know.
All right.
But I know that you have guns, and I've heard lately that you're kind of having a little bit of episode. Hello, law enforcement? Yeah. So my friend Terry, I'm afraid that he might be a danger to himself or others.
Okay.
Knock, knock, knock. Terry, we understand you have guns, and we're going to take your guns until such time as we can determine that you are safe and not going to harm yourself or others.
And just like that, they can take them?
They can take them.
No way.
Yes.
Wow.
It's getting scary out there with the gun laws, and I feel like they're really attacking Oregon hard right now with how strict our gun laws are starting to get. And it's like,
they're not attacking Oregon. Oregon is the epicenter of all the radicalism that happens in this. Starts here, it goes out. I'm going to give you the examples. Doctor-assisted suicide first started in Oregon. Decriminalization of marijuana started in Oregon. Decriminalization of hardcore drugs, Oregon.
Why?
Red flag gun laws, Oregon. Because nobody pays attention to Oregon, so they test all the radicalism here. The people accepted it, then they push it out. And in 2007, the first known Antifa group was founded, Rose City Antifa, in Portland, Oregon.
Really?
Yes. Oregon is so important, and I wish other people in the rest of the country would understand that we are the hotbed, the testing ground of radicalism.
So how do we get around that?
We get people like me elected that are calling it out, going, look, this is what is happening here. This stuff is happening right here in Oregon. And then it goes out everywhere. That's just a small list.
Yeah. It's sad. It's really sad.
So it may look like they're attacking, they're testing.
That's it. You're 100% right. They're testing. You're right. So what would be the first thing you would attack when you get into, there's that attack word.
There's that attack word. I mentioned the Department of Education.
Oh, yes.
Okay. But I have to get elected.
Right.
So I need help.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask for what I need. I need prayers, prayers, and prayers.
Okay.
Okay. Those are always my first three.
Prayers.
And
more
prayers.
I love it.
We need those. If you want to volunteer, you can go to the website, perkins.vote. Click on the volunteer link. We need money. Ron Wyden has over $8 million. He is running scared. He's advertising on Christian radio, conservative talk radio, OAN, Newsmax, Snapchat, YouTube, Facebook.
Oh, God.
He's worried. So if you see his ads, go on, blast them. Say, if you want to get rid of, because most of the time people are blasting them, hashtag join Joe Ray, hashtag retire Ron, donate to my campaign. We need money so we can get our ads out. We're going to start advertising in a couple of weeks, but we need more money. It takes
Absolutely.
A lot to advertise. We will be advertising again on KSLM, but we're going to target the Portland metro area.
He runs, I've followed him over the years, he runs a lot of negative campaigns, doesn't he?
Well, he's trying to show how wonderful he is. He's running an ad on how great he's done with the wildfires, but yet after almost 42 years of being in Washington, D.C., his programs are so great that Oregon was number two in 2021 of total acreages burned due to wildfire.
Number two?
Number two.
Horrible.
Wow.
All right, we are
time for him to go.
Out of time.
Yeah.
We have about 30 seconds left there. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to get in touch with you? How do they support you?
Okay, they can go to the website, perkins.vote. Perkins.vote. And vote. You need to vote. Your vote matters. Your vote counts. If you go, my vote doesn't count, your non-vote counts double for the person you don't want to see elected.
Mm-hmm.
When your ballot comes in, if you're not a regular voter, fill it out immediately and vote.
It's so important.
And for the rest of us, make sure you drop off your ballot by Election Day.
Okay. And okay. If someone want to make a donation.
They want to make a donation, they can go to perkins.vote, or they can mail a check to Perkins for U.S. Senate, Post Office Box 91, Albany 97321.
Okay. When you win, will you come back and chat with us?
Oh, absolutely.
You head to Washington?
Absolutely.
Did you catch it? When you win?
Yes, of course.
All right. We need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special show. More in just a moment.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. Are you in the market for a new car? Well, if so, I encourage you to do what I do. Head down to Lule's Car Connection. Lule's has been selling quality vehicles for over 30 years. Lule's brokers any new vehicle selling within dealer invoice. And check this out. Lule's has financing with most major lenders and credit unions. So do what I do. Stop by Lule's Car Connection, located at 2055 Mission Street in Salem, and tell them Saltissimo sent you. Lule's Car Connection. We are back. This is the Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host. Hanging out with me today is Amanda Smith. Good morning, Amanda. How
good
are we?
Good morning. We are good.
Now, we have a guest in studio today.
We do.
And I'm not sure the proper way to introduce you. Okay. Raquel Morgan, Moore Green.
Yes.
What's the best way to introduce you?
Well, good morning, Amanda, and good morning, Terry, and all the listeners. Thank you for having me.
I hate when she gets top billing.
A comes before T.
Oh, is that how you
That's how it worked out.
Yeah,
okay.
I like her already.
Well, good morning. My name is Raquel Moore Green, and currently I am the state representative in House District 19, which is South Salem, Turner, and Almsville, and I'm a candidate for Senate District 10, which includes Salem, a portion of South Salem, Monmouth, West Salem, and Independence.
Okay. Can you do that? Can you switch districts that you are going to be in both districts then?
No. House District 19 is a 2-year term.
Okay.
And the Senate District is a 4-year term. And because I'm currently a representative, if I was going to continue in the House, I would have needed to have filed to run again in 19 this election cycle. However, I elected to run for Senate District 10 instead.
Why did you decide that?
You know, that's a great question, Terry. And this is a community that my family and I have lived in for nearly 30 years. My husband and I have raised 2 of our 3 children here, and 3 of our 13 grandchildren live in Salem.
13?
13, yes.
Oh, I love
it. Ages 7 months to 19 years, so I've got a spread there.
You got your hands
full. Wow.
Well, my children have their hands full.
Yes, yes.
I seem to be occupied with other things. You know, this is a community that has long held the value of public education, of safe streets, safe parks, and small business. We're a small business community. My sense, and the sense that I receive from the community and those I speak with, are those values have not been represented well in Senate District 10 by our current senator.
Why is that?
She voted to reduce high school graduation standards. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we lower the expectation of our young adults, of our children across the board, that sends a message that's rather counterintuitive. Every child can exceed, and I think we've proven that over the years.
What was her reasoning?
I don't know.
Has she never said what
I'm.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Wow.
But you're here to change it.
I am.
Yeah.
I am here to change that. Right. That's because that will be one of the first things that have an education bill that we've currently got in the works for next session, for the 23 session. And part of that includes, you know, restoring the standards.
I'm a borderline idiot. So explain to me how you create a bill.
Okay. I'd be happy to. So typically somebody has an issue that they want to resolve, something that isn't right.
Okay.
And so it is the threshold of statutory, you know, it's a state issue, state law governs it. And so you have an idea of what the problem is, then you come up with what the solution is, and then that information goes to what we commonly refer to as LC, which is Legislative Council. And we present that to Legislative Council, and those are attorneys who understand state law, and they go, oh, okay, well, you would need to do X, Y, or Z, and this is how it would roll out. And so then they draft language for you. And remember, this can only be done by elected senators or representatives. So there are 90 of us total that have the ability to do this. And we had what was called our pre-session filing date. The first filing date was, deadline was September 21st, if I recall correctly. And that's, you know, where we send in these ideas. And, you know, I have some constituents who have come to me with issues, and we have the ability to allow those constituents then to work with LC through our office to have a piece of legislation drafted.
So it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It takes a while to get a bill put together.
Yes, correct.
And then who has to vote on that?
Well, so then comes the LC gets assigned a number, and it comes back to the office, and then typically what we do is we, quote, shop it around to our colleagues, those across the aisle, those that we sit with, and present the idea to them and say, so what do you think? Is this something that interests you? We'll oftentimes talk with lobby, because lobby, you know, they're experts in their fields. And if it's something that, you know, it might intersect one of their clients, we would want to know that. And you have those discussions, and maybe then you send it back to legal counsel LC and say, could you change this? This, you know, this didn't sit quite right. That we thought it was a good idea, but it pans out that it isn't.
Right.
And then the bill gets dropped. So then the legislator drops the bill, which means it goes to the speaker's office. And then the speaker has a whole process of assigning. It gets assigned a number. Then it has it gets assigned to a committee. So let's say it's a health care bill. It's being dropped in the House. Let's just, for instance, then it goes to the health care, and then the chair of the health Healthcare Committee reviews all those bills that have come to their committee and decide, well, this one we're going to hear this week. We'll put this one to next week. We'll hold on this one. And it's a whole
problem. Good Lord.
Do you ever see favoritism in there with bills?
I did see some, yes. Yeah. Yes, I have seen that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I wondered, crazy.
Yeah. That sounds like a crazy cycle.
yes, it is.
You got to keep track and follow it.
When you work with, as you say, across the aisle, you're sitting in there, and there's an aisleway there, and do you just yell over, "Hey, George"? Or is there a certain procedure that you don't?
Well, when we make reference to that, it usually means, you know, that we're talking with our fellow colleagues.
Right.
And oftentimes, that could be in the hallway. You know, you're passing in the hallway. It can be you make an appointment to go see them. Maybe you're in the lunchroom. We do have a lunchroom, and you sit down and have lunch. Not so much during COVID, though. I mean, there were a lot of restrictions during COVID. So it really restricted that natural flow of conversation and ideas and what ifs and, hadn't thought of it that way, or, you know, I've heard about that. All of that sort of conversation that goes into making good legislation.
Yeah.
Now, will there be times when you're across the aisle colleagues, I guess you should call them, like the bill?
Yes.
But they are Democrat versus Republican. Mm-hmm. And even though I like the bill, I got to stay with my party. Does that happen often?
Yeah, I've seen that happen, yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, those are bills that are a little bit more controversial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Wow.
So what exactly would your title, what would consist of your job role, if you will? What things can you do, can you not do? Can you get into that a little bit?
Sure. So as a member of the legislature, the role that I see, first and foremost, is I represent the constituents that make up the district that I represent. And, you know, is state government working for them? And if it's not working for them, come to me. Contact my office, and we'll help you negotiate it. Maybe it's an issue with DMV. Maybe it's an issue with DHS. And that's really first and foremost the role. Then statutorily, we're in charge, you know, it's the budget. We oftentimes the legislature has been, you know, we hold the purse strings, right? We're the ones who vote on the final budgets. For state agencies. And then of course, there is the, quote, lawmaking, which we just talked about, you know, the laws that get made. So those are, I would consider to be, you know, the three kind of top things when you talk with somebody from the building.
What is the best part of that job? What do you enjoy the most?
Helping constituents. Resolving issues.
Okay, what do you really enjoy the most, though? Is that it?
Yes.
I knew there was something else.
Well, you know, I enjoy my colleagues. I enjoy the process. It's a huge honor to represent a community that has supported me.
Yeah.
And to see, for instance, there was a gentleman leaving right before I came in, saying, "Well, and you know, just the work I've been able to do for the business community over the last few years in a different capacity than I've done in the past."
Right.
That's very fulfilling. That's very fulfilling.
What's the other side? What do you least? Oh, geez, here we go again. Radio interviews.
No, these are always good because they make you. Even though I'm sitting down, I have to think on my feet. Oh, I don't know. It can be frustrating at times, especially having been in the super minority for the term that I've been in there. I was appointed in July of 2019 and elected in 2020. And I've been in a super minority, I guess that's where I want to go, is to the majority position. And that can absolutely be frustrating, yes.
Gosh, and you had to deal with COVID, too, going into it. That couldn't have been easy.
Yeah. It's been a very intense 3 years,
yeah,
to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Definitely probably a lot of learning, adjusting.
Yes, absolutely.
And all
absolutely.
Of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, we need to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We are just getting warmed up. Today's show brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. Take a short time out. We'll be right back. Stick around.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group.
Back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
We are back. This is our final few minutes. Today's guest has been Amanda Smith joining me. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
It's always a pleasure to have you in here.
Oh, yes.
And we also have State Representative Raquel Moore Green. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Or actually, this plays on Sunday evening as well, so it could be good evening.
Well, good evening.
Yeah, whatever you want. All right, we were talking a little bit about, do you go knocking on doors?
I do, yes. As a matter of fact, the last few days I've been over in Four Corners, which is a part of the district, the most eastern part of Senate District 10, the new Senate District 10, mind you. And one of the things that we hear from constituents, and constituents are folks who, they're the constituency, they're the people who make up the district, the individuals who live in the district.
Okay.
So I'm a constituent?
Well, if you're in Senate District 10, then hopefully you'll be one of my constituents. Okay. I don't know where you live.
I'm in Kaiser, so.
You're in Kaiser, so I believe that would be Senate District 10.
Okay.
And Senator Thatcher is currently running for that seat, right. Kim Thatcher.
So she'll be banging on my door pretty soon then?
Well, yeah, she or her team will be, hopefully, yes. That's usually the way we do this.
Yeah.
I can't do it all. I have a team out there. I have volunteers and others who go out and help me go door to door.
You guys have been out there. You guys are definitely being very noticed. And so your yard signs are everywhere I drive. I love it.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
What are you hearing?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. Saturday afternoon, we were wrapping up. My husband was with me on Saturday afternoon. And knock a door and a young man comes out and, oh, maybe in his late 20s, early 30s. And he says, this is just miserable. And I said, well, what's miserable? And he said, I can't believe that this is not the Oregon I grew up in.
Mm.
And, the crime, mm-hmm. and the homelessness, and the cost of living, which has really gone through the roof, you know, you know, so we talked about some of those issues and, you know, why are we in the place that we're in today and what is our pathway out? And
why are we in the place we're in today?
Well, you know, we've had failed leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It has caused the cost of living to go up. We've got a chronic homeless problem, and you know these are folks who that we actually see sleeping on the streets. Okay, because when I address this issue, I believe there are two tracks. You've got the families and individuals who kind of live on the edge, you know, paycheck to paycheck, and they do their very best to keep everything together. But if they lose a job or, you know, rent goes up, the potential for them to lose their home then could put them in that homeless. And those individuals, we I think, do a good job as a community here in the Mid-Valley to get them connected to the services, to get them back into housing. And then I think there are the other individuals that we see who are the chronic homeless, the ones we see sleeping on the streets. And many of those individuals have got severe mental mm-hmm. issues, and they have tried to, or they have substance abuse issues, right? They're heroin, meth, fentanyl. And those are what I call our chronic problem. Much more difficult to get into services, much more difficult to reach. And, you know, with the number of the individuals sleeping on the streets, in order to keep your habit, you know, if you've got a habit of heroin that costs you $10, $15, $20 a day, that money has to come from somewhere. And unfortunately, it comes from, you know, committing crimes, mm-hmm. Breaking and entering. I was talking with a woman this morning, lives up in Kaiser. You know, her husband's truck was broken into and all his tools were taken.
I have a. I live in an apartment complex in Kaiser, and I have a Marion County deputy that lives above me. Mm-hmm. His patrol car was broken into in the parking lot. Who breaks into a patrol car? So what is the solution to this?
Well, first off, I think we need to take a very serious look at Measure 110.
Yes.
Which was, for the listeners who aren't familiar with it, was a ballot measure that was voted on in 2020, and it did two things. It established what substance abuse services, and they call them, for the short vernacular inside the building, is their burns is what they are, and they're funded with marijuana tax money. So that was about $250 million out of the biennium that would go to creating these resources where you've got detox, you've got places where folks can go and compose themselves, and actual treatment for drug and alcohol abuse. And then the other piece of the law decriminalized hard drugs. So fentanyl, heroin, meth, LSD. And what it said was anything under 40 grams you can possess. And for listeners who might not know what 40 grams is, that's like 40 pills of fentanyl.
It's a lot.
Okay. It's a lot.
Fentanyl is
deadly.
It's horrible.
Yes.
It is horrible. And they're disguising it in these rainbow candies now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There are many of us who agree that Measure 110 needs to be looked at. And, you know, the premise was, if you're an addict, you shouldn't be in jail. That's not the place to get your addiction addressed. And that is correct. However, a citation to somebody saying, you know, if you'll call this number, we'll and get help, then you don't have to pay the $100 for the citation you have for holding the drugs that you do have on you. But many times people who are caught in addiction need that extra push, mm-hmm. that they oftentimes don't just self-refer.
Right.
Maybe they will call the number, but if they're not committed to getting off that drug and literally getting help, they won't get help. And I think there are many people in our community who will testify to the fact that, you know, if I hadn't done that time in jail, I'd still be addicted or I'd be dead.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Somebody. I wonder how many of them will, first of all, you have to admit that you want to get off it. That's
correct.
The issue.
Yes.
And I wonder what the percentages of those that will make that phone call.
Yeah. Well, the last statistics that I looked at said that there were about 3,000 encounters of law enforcement with individuals, and I believe it was 50 people had actually made phone calls to this number.
Wow. We are just about out of time here, but if people want to go in your direction, what can they do to help you?
Well, they're more than welcome to visit my website, which is www.rmgsd10.com.
Youch!
And there's a form there where you can volunteer. You can send me a question. My email's there as well as my phone number. So,
and do you read your emails?
I do read my emails. And please be patient with my responses. I do respond, but sometimes not as quickly as people would like.
All right.
And I do return phone calls.
Awesome. Well, we wish you the best of luck in the upcoming election. And after you win, will you come back and join us?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
We are just about out of time for today's show. Remember, you can catch our show every Saturday at 10 a.m. and a replay Sundays at 6 p.m. right here on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. A reminder, if you missed any of today's show or would like to hear any of my shows, you can always hear a podcast on our official KSLM website at www.kslm.news or on my official website at www.terrysaul.com. If you would like to drop me a note, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is terry@kslm.news. We'll see you next time. Take care and be safe.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
everybody.